Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
G'day, Dan Illich here from Irrational Fear. Now, before we start the show, I need to let you know that we've got two live shows coming up. One at the Brisbane Powerhouse in Brisbane, June 6. That's Thursday, June 6 at 7:30. We have a huge lineup, including Bridie Connell, Wyatt Nixon Lloyd from Tonightly, Tom Ballard is doing the show, Steph Tisdell, who just won a major award at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Mel Buddle is also performing. You may know her from the Great Australian Bake Off. DJ Diabolical will be there. He's, of course, from The Chaser and the head editor of Tonightly. And also Professor Hilary Bambrick from the Climate Council. We will be spending 90 minutes explaining, debating, and talking about climate change. So that's going to be absolutely stupendously good. And also after that, a few weeks later, we have a show in Adelaide at the Adelaide Cabaret Festival. And that lineup is looking awesome. Georgie Carroll, Lewis Hobber, myself, Bridie, Wyatt, and a few other guests yet to be named. I think Cal Wilson is going to do it, which is awesome. So Adelaide and Brisbane, get your act together and get some tickets. Now, there is a slight technical problem on the recording of the Alex Turnbull interview tonight. Sadly, both Lewis and I's microphones weren't recording in the system we have here at FBI Radio. I don't know what happened. So the audio of us is coming through my headphone speaker, my headphone microphone, which isn't the best quality. So please, please bear with us. It's still an interesting interview. Alex Turnbull, an interesting muckraker in this election. Fascinating chat with him. So without further ado, let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dum, and Section 45. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, after misplacing her glasses, Kerri-Ann Kennelly once again mistakes a national televised broadcast for her own Facebook page. And in order to receive their $7 million in outstanding entitlements, former Queensland nickel workers are being told to sign gag orders to prevent them from making any disparaging comments about that charlatan and crooked fat Clive Palmer. And in nostalgia news now, the concentration of carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere has reached levels not seen for 3 million years. Scientists have described the atmosphere so chunky you can carve it. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Yes, the media tries to make us scared of all sorts of things, but thankfully we do have the fearmongers here to pop that bubble and tell us what they should really be scared of. And this week we have former, well, not former comedian, current comedian, and former writer for ABC's Tonightly. It's Lauren Bonner. Hello, Lauren.
Hello, Dan. Thank you for having me. I am a current comedian. I may not be funny anymore, but I still have the title. So
that's never stopped me. Don't worry about that. And you've got a show at the Enmore Theatre this Sunday.
I do. It's called Heartbreaker. Lauren Bonner, Heartbreaker. Google it. Please come. My self-esteem depends on it. I'd love to see you there Sunday
night.
When
you say Google it, can I just Google the whole show? Is there a video of the show so I don't have to come to the Enmore?
Absolutely not. You have to buy a ticket. Whether or not you come, I don't care. Just pay the money, please.
Yeah. It's like watching Netflix with 200 other people at the same time.
200. You believe in me so much.
And despite annual death threats, our next Fear Nuanga has just celebrated their 20th anniversary as part of a satirical comedy group called The Chaser. You may have heard of it. Chris Taylor.
Oh, how are you, Dan?
Congratulations, 20 years of making funny yet salient work.
20 years of pretty much making the same joke over and over again. We had one idea to chase politicians in the street. It's sort of a bit undignified now. We're all sort of 60 years old, I think. And yeah,
The only one you can catch now.
Well, it sort of became easy because I think when we did start, like the first jokes we ever would have written would have been about Kim Beazley, and you can guarantee they're about his weight. So it's a very easy sort of cut and replace, copy and paste sort of job with Clive these days, yeah.
And next is the crucial deciding vote of every single Eurovision contest happening right now. It is Lewis Homer.
That's right. I will be accepting bribes in Euro only.
What about tap and go without like the conversion charge?
No. I will need it wired to me or Bitcoin. I'll accept Euro or Bitcoin. Yeah, I'm a Eurovision judge this
year. That's so crazy.
It's bizarre. Yeah, it's really exciting. I love Eurovision. I love how insane it is, obviously. But yeah, I sat in my first jury sitting, pronounced a judgment the other day, which was really fun. Got to watch Kate Miller-Heidke do an incredible job. And yeah, my next one will be Saturday. Oh God, the time difference screws me. This weekend, I'm going to watch the grand final and vote.
By being a judge, you actually kind of leave a crucial mark on cultural history in the world.
Talk like, it up, Dan.
It's really
talking
exciting.
About bloody Eurovision.
I could, like, ABBA really would be nothing without me.
I just think it's really exciting.
It's like, not on the UN Security Council. It's just saying whether one song was less naff than another.
Is it like if, you know, if the world was like a private school, your name would be on like the drama board of high achievers.
Yeah. I'd be a prefect.
You'd be a prefect, yeah.
So you reckon Lewis, who's, you know, got a pretty successful career with Hungry Beast, he's now doing the Drive Show on Triple J, you think his legacy will be 1 year he got up at 4 a.m. for a couple of days a week to vote for Kate Miller-Heidke, only to see her lose because the whole competition's corrupt and geared towards you.
Deux poids. Are you concerned about corruption this Eurovision?
No, I'm encouraging it. Again, I stress, Euro bribes. Euro bribes. No, they're really intense, actually. They sent me the whole guidelines for Eurovision voting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not allowed to, like, even now to you, I'm not allowed to talk about who I liked in the finals. Ooh. Or who I think will be doing well, because it might influence my vote or... and obviously I'm not allowed to vote for Australia either.
Have you had any...
Are you allowed to vote in the Australian election?
No. I'm like a prisoner.
A rational fear.
All right, first fear today. Clive Palmer is back in the news again, as he is, has always been every day during the election, because this is the moment, I think this is the moment that Clive Palmer has actually become a real politician. He has offered very fast trains to the electorate. Whether those fast trains will be fast if Clive Palmer is on that train or not is up for questioning. But everyone is offering fast trains. Every single party is offering fast trains this election. Labor this month has offered $1 billion to buy land between Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra and Melbourne.
Obviously not in Sydney. That'll get them half a block.
Yeah, three houses and a car park. That's $1 billion gone.
When you say buy land, like, is it... They need a corridor to lay the tracks.
It's 3 metres wide.
Right.
It's 3 metres
wide.
Is it...
Where would you... How west do you need to go to find clear land? Like, through Sydney, which just sprawls from pretty much the east coast all the way out to Penrith.
Oh, I know the front of the Sydney University lawn has got quite a good strip.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. They're really... just going to cut right through and then head down a Melbourne laneway. It's going to be beautiful.
Of course, there are plenty of skinny, long strips of land that have been bought by former Labor planning ministers. So there's plenty up for sale.
Wouldn't it be better? Couldn't you use the sort of the other side of the coast and over the water, sort of a hover rail system, if you will, like a very fast hydrofoil or something like that? Why isn't anyone talking about that?
No one's talking about it. No one's talking about it, Chris.
There's land going spare. You don't need to WestConnex the whole country. Just put a very fast boat
Well, this is the thing. Every party is offering. Liberals last month offered $2 billion in federal funds to mark out very fast trains from Melbourne to Geelong, which is pretty interesting. A region well known for its track marks.
Hey, that's my hometown. You back off. No one wants to get there any faster. That won't work.
Even the Greens have said they'd like to get the ball rolling by dedicating $1.6 billion for the creation of a high-speed rail authority, which is great. Like, this is a good non-partisan idea from the Greens. Usually the Greens are off on their crazy lefty rants about climate change and clean water and breathable air. But fast trains is something we can all jump on board with.
Oh, is it just... would be great if it was just limited to Melbourne and we had like very fast trams. So you could get to St Kilda to South Melbourne in like 8 seconds. Yeah. Is anyone talking about that?
It'd be real scary.
Yeah, sometimes you do feel like a gelato in St Kilda and you are stuck in North Brunswick. Oh, it would be good. Pauline Hanson's One Nation, though, during the last Queensland election, is anti-fast train.
Are they? Well, it brings the migrants in too quickly.
this is what she said on her Facebook page. She said she scoffed at the idea, saying it's absolutely ridiculous. We don't need more infrastructure to move people around. We simply need less people.
You know what she also hates? Very fast sushi trains. All that Asian cuisine coming into this country.
It's so baffling. Like, I just think, like, there was once a guy a long time ago, a very famous Austrian architect who was also anti-population but very pro-trains, and he seemed to make it work.
Yeah. And just,
so very fast trains. Like, why are we constantly offered this very fast trains? It seems so baffling. Like, the electorate doesn't believe we'll get it. Politicians don't actually believe they'll deliver it.
Make Australia great. Fast trains for Sydney, 1 hour to the CBD for up to 300 kilometres away.
Why do they constantly offer it?
Well, because it's a good idea, which is why it's so frustrating that they never do it. Like, it would be great. It would be really great. Like, any time you go to a country that has a fast train and you get on one, you go, this is obviously how things should be. And then you get here and you go, never going to happen. But you can't even make slow trains work.
But it seems to be such a non-partisan idea. It seems to be like everybody agrees that it's good. Mm. Why can't everybody get together and make it happen?
I assume it's something to do with cooperations between states and federal, because it's such a massive infrastructure undertaking. I think it is a vote winner. We all want faster trains. And I mean, I would absolutely prefer to get a train to Melbourne rather than, you know, queue up in the $8 coffee cafes of Sydney Airport. But yeah, I mean, there must be a reason it hasn't worked. And I think it's just bureaucratically a very difficult thing to get through.
Maybe they all just backtrack, because Palmer, like, if he built a fast train, I'm sure everyone would want to run away very quickly from his electorate. That's what I would do.
Yeah, everybody's leaving Herbert. There's no one to vote for me.
Please stay.
I would hope that it does become like the NBN, where everyone agrees that they need it, but then when it gets brought in, the Liberals just bring it in at like 1990 speeds, like the 64 kilobyte version of the fast train.
You know what would be good? Remember when they did, I think it was SBS, that did slow TV of the GAN.
Yes, the GAN.
Imagine slow TV with a very fast train. So you could go from Adelaide to Darwin in like 2 minutes.
Just put it on a roller coaster.
That's not bad. Now, very fast roller coasters. People want to get to Brisbane with a little bit of adventure along the way.
Irrational fear.
It's because they're communists.
Your fear is rational.
Clive Palmer is actually out of Queensland at the moment. So, you know, he got on a very fast plane to Suva, to Fiji. Why is Clive Palmer in Fiji this week?
Very good question. This is a guy who's running on the platform of Make Australia Great. I don't know where Fiji fits into that plan.
Did he say that his friend was sick? He's like, my friend's sick on the beach.
That's his line. He's got an unwell friend.
He doesn't have any friends.
No.
Name one friend.
I reckon, I wonder if it's like such commitment to campaigning that not only has he sort of, you know, put candidates in every single seat, but even Australians who are currently on holidays in popular tourist hotspots, he's going around personally to just advertise in front of them. You know, we're bringing a billboard to Fiji. He's probably doing Bali tomorrow. He'll be in London on the weekend. I mean, he should be applauded for his commitment to getting out there on the hustings beyond the shores of Australia.
He's hitting Kuda, braiding kids' hairs, going, do you like fast trains, love?
Maybe it's just an excuse to wear a Lowe's Hawaiian shirt.
It's more slimming.
They're very roomy. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because right now, do you think he's there talking about climate change at all? Because the UN Secretary General is in Suva right now at the Pacific Island Forum, where all the Pacific Island nations' danger of being swamped by oceans, not Asians, are there to discuss real climate action. Do you think at all he cares about that?
Were you not listening to us earlier? No, he's there because he's got a very sick friend with the sniffles. And it's nothing to do with, you know, that Fiji is quite a nice destination. He's definitely not going to that summit, I reckon. It might be that, and you know, you could accuse Clive of arrogance in this campaign, but maybe he just knows he's already got the election licked. He can afford to take the foot off the pedal and have an early holiday because he's got government in the bag.
I actually think it'd be a great thing for us to bring in for all politicians, that a week before the election, they all have to go to Fiji. Mm. And we just send them all away so that they can't do any more interviews,
great.
No more doorstops, no more policies. We all get a week just to chat about it amongst ourselves.
Yeah, it's team bonding too. They can do a high ropes course or something. Yeah. It's like a summer camp.
Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes, Clive, and lean back. We'll catch you.
Yeah, we
trust you. Sort of like politicians' schoolies.
Yeah.
Where you all send them over to let their hair down after a tough campaign. We just assure them, we the electorate, we've got this now. You've done your bit. Democracy is in our hands.
Oh, I just like that. I've got visions of politicians pashing behind a bus shelter. Thank you for that. That's really remarkable.
But enough about Barnaby Joyce and his stuff.
Irrational fear.
Bill Shorten gets in. It is the end of life as we know it.
Tony Abbott is giving out his mobile number willy-nilly, Lauren.
He is. He read a story in the Sydney Morning Herald that a local voter, a very wealthy doctor in the Warringah region.
Is there any other kind?
Not in Warringah.
not in Warringah. They said that they weren't going to vote Liberal for the first time in 25 years, and Tony Abbott said, stuff it, I'll just call him. And he just called him on the phone, and he says that he doesn't think that he convinced him, but that they had a good chat. So he's just desperate, isn't he?
It's interesting because there's, you know, in the last couple of elections, there's been this sort of advent of robocalls. Mm. And it must be very hard when you receive a personal call from Tony Abbott to distinguish it between a robo version of Abbott and the real Abbott. Like, how much of that phone call with the doctor was just going, why is this robot calling me?
He just calls up and he's like, don't hang up. It's actually me. Please just hang on. Hear me out.
Robocalls are too tricky. They'll actually say that these days. Like, don't hang up. It's actually me, Tony Abbott. I've got a few things I want to tell you about.
Robocalls are just the thing that Chloe Shorten calls anytime Bill rings.
When Bill rings, it says, do not answer. Yeah. On the phone.
I thought that was amazing because now his constituents can not only just vote him out, but they can ghost him. They can just never text him back. He's like texting his voters like, hey, you still up? Like, please call me back.
I miss you.
Yeah, miss you.
Hey, are we still above the line? We still got that deal going?
Yeah.
Do we know his number? Is it possible to... Is it very public now?
No, I would love to get my hands on it, though. So if anyone out there has it, please...
Text in.
Irrational fear.
And the Australian government made a huge mistake this week. The Treasury Department, they printed $46 million $50 notes with a bit of a mistake, Chris Taylor.
Yeah, with a typo on the note. Now, we don't ask for much from our Treasury Department or our Mint. They've got one job.
Did they get the 5 or the 0 wrong?
Well, this is the thing. A lot of people have been down on the Mint for this screw-up. And I think it's the $50 note, and it's a bit of what they call microtext. And it's part of Edith Cowan's maiden speech. And they misspelt the word responsibility. The interesting thing about this is that these notes were released in October and no one noticed the typo until, what are we in, May at the moment?
And
so there's obviously not a lot of Edith Cowan microtext fans out there. But I reckon, yeah, kudos to them for not getting the 5 or the 0 wrong. That could have been what you might characterise as a fuck-up. But they got the 5 and the 0 in a nice font, in the right position. They got the yellow colour right, so we can still call it a pineapple. It's a bit of text that doesn't really change whether it's legal tender or not. But, yeah, how does
it works for me. It was going to be one of those things like with stamps. You know, when a stamp goes wrong, stamp collectors want to hang on to it. Yeah. But they're only worth 50 cents.
Yeah.
So, like, if you got something that's $50, it's going to be tough. You're like, do I keep it because it's going to be worth more eventually? But it's also $50. Like, can I just afford to put that away?
Mm.
Mm.
And the most interesting thing about this story was that it was broken by Triple M's Facebook page. Is that right, Chris?
That's where I go for my news.
It was.
All my prof reading, yeah. I go there.
Yeah, the Fin Review missed it completely. the financial department of the Triple M newsroom, which I think Alan Cole has just been offered a job with.
I think it's because everyone on Triple M uses a 50 for their cocaine.
It up. Was it just Mick Malloy with a magnifying glass? Being, oh, have a squiz of this speech while he's on the toilet. Yeah. Like, how did they notice it?
I think it was a caller who rang Triple M and that was one of those I've spotted a funny type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not realizing the gold they were sitting on, that this was a major national embarrassment.
Well, that's about it for Irrational Fear. Please go see Lauren Bonner at the Enmore Theatre this Sunday.
Do you accept $50 notes? Anytime
I'll accept a $50 note from anyone.
You know what would be great? If we kind of make this the official $50 note now and never correct it. You know, like there's some things that are wrong in history and we sort of preserve it as a sort of fun little bit of folklore.
Yeah, like Australia.
Like Australia itself. It'd be terrible if any correctly spelled $50 note ever went back into circulation again. We should only have typos on our banknotes.
Mm. Well, I was actually going to go to the bank and collect a bunch and go, oh, I'm going to hang on to these for 20 years, but there's 46 million of them. Like, they're everywhere. They're Everybody's not, got them.
Yeah.
And there's already got them.
So like, you've got $50. That's fair. I'm happy for you. That's nice. That's awesome.
And Chris Taylor, people can listen to you on the ABC
on
Listener.
On Street Corner normally. one of the things when you've been in the chase for so long, you get a bit senile and demented. So you tend just to hang out in Surrey Hills talk about John Howard a lot. No one's told you he hasn't been in government for years.
Yeah, you'll know it. Chris Taylor's lost his mind. We just go, Super League.
Yeah. Still a strong reference, Super League. Well, Democracy Sausage is the show I'm doing with Craig Rucastle at the moment. You can hear it on a range of mediums, ABC Radio, the ABC Listen app. It's now filmed for ABC Comedy and on iView. The opera's coming soon. We're performing at the Enmore Theatre just after Lauren this week. Get behind it. And even though the election finishes this Saturday, allegedly, we're doing it for the next 4 years.
And Lewis Hobber, people can hear you and see you during Eurovision? Are you going to be on screen at all?
Yeah, watch Eurovision if you like. Yeah, I don't know. You can see me wherever you like. Just call me. I'll send out my number, me and Tony. Yeah.
Well, one person who knows a little bit about what kind of might be happening on the ground is Australia's very own George Soros, Alex Turnbull. I spoke to him earlier.
How's your foreign meddling going in our Australian election?
Well, you know, it sucks. I don't have all that Russian money or hacking skills, so not as well as the Trump campaign. But it's going okay.
We are only a few days out from the election. How, in your mind, how do you see the cards landing?
I think, look, I mean, I've got a model for what it's worth, but I think Labor will form government. I don't think they're going to get over more than 83 seats. Some of the indies seem to be doing materially better in the last couple of weeks, and some of the pre-poll data would suggest that's actually going pretty well.
Is that just you as a hobby?
Sorry?
How's this modelling coming together?
Use, you know, an ensemble of, you know, sports betting odds and polls and just what all the other pollsters do, really.
Huh.
So you just pipe it all in, screen scrape it, and, you know, come up with a totally made-up number and be confident about it. Same everyone does in finance. I think certain elements of the Liberals' scare campaigns have worked reasonably effectively. I think some of the terrifying retirees has been somewhat a lot more effective. But I still don't see a reasonable path to victory here at this point in time.
Who are you sort of excited to support?
Well, Julia Banks, of course. I spiritually support Zali Steggall and Karen, though I have not funded them in any way, shape or form.
When you say spiritually support, have you been burning effigies of them do you have a priest?
As a Buddhist, it's all dark tantra. You know, anyway. No, just kidding. Just wishing them well and hoping they get up.
But what about on the inside? You've obviously made a lot of enemies within, you know, the Liberal Party. Have you got any idea of how folks within inside the Liberal camp themselves are feeling about you and this campaign?
I think it's kind of gone from thinking that this is a joke after the Wentworth thing, and they lost Wentworth, and then I got upgraded to Pain in the Proverbial, and then after like Paladin and a few other bits and pieces, I'm gradually working my way up to Public Enemy number one. So we'll see. But yeah, it's been amusing sort of seeing the News Corp going from dismissive to full attack mode. As a badge of pride, yeah.
You're just a guy standing in front of a country, asking that country to think about their voting choices. That's all you're doing.
I know, but they don't appreciate it because they like to tell people what to think. It's sort of it disrupts the business model somewhat.
Do you, when you walk around Singapore, do you get people stopping, like expats stopping in the street, asking you what's going on?
No. I mean, no one cares, which is great. So it's like I sort of log into Twitter and it's insane. And then like you log off and the gates of hell close and it's just silence. It's wonderful.
Have you voted already, Alex?
Yeah, I voted like last week.
Who for?
Who for? Obviously, Karen Phelps and then Rod Bauer in the Senate. And then I tried to, sort the various, back end of the Senate ticket in the least offensive way possible, which actually requires some thought.
What do you think about Rod's chances in the Senate? Does he have a chance at all?
I think he does, actually, but it's very, these, look, I mean, they've got a reasonable amount of pickup in social media and stuff, but it's a new party. It's very hard to estimate this sort of stuff from a cold start. But
all the marketing I've seen Rod do is just put up that sign every morning. He puts up a new sign, so that's free publicity right there.
Yeah. Well, he's also very much online. We'll see. I mean, I hope they do well, but we'll see where they shake out.
As someone who's trying to get independence going, what are the core values that you have as an individual? What do you kind of want to see these independents enact?
I think it's more, first of all, my bar is low on any climate action. I mean, getting something done, getting Labor's target would be spectacular if it's done in some sort of vaguely coherent, more or less market design oriented way. Then I think that'll just reduce power prices and get emissions down and everyone will be happy with it. So that's definitely a major priority. More about focusing on people who are not hyper-partisan, because one thing that was good with the Medevac bill was you had people who are really willing to kind of get across the issues and understand that, for example, okay, boat turnbacks, some people don't like them, but they seem to be an effective deterrent, but just locking people up in perpetuity on Manus Island and waiting till their minds break and they have a mental health breakdown and stop eating, that's not really value add and it's actually just fucking terrible. So I think it's good to get people who are willing to kind of think for themselves and not just, be partisan hacks. So those are sort of priorities of mine. There are numerous other things, but it's more about just getting sane people in there as sort of a mirror to hold up against the two major parties, which tend to be a little bit more hyper-partisan and soundbite-oriented.
Do you think the Liberal Party is going to have a moment of reckoning after this election? Do you think they're going to tear themselves apart a little bit?
I think they'll tear themselves apart whether they're in government or not. I mean, this most recent news about Jim Molan and his sort of campaign, which now the Nationals and Barnaby has cut up rough about. I mean, they're just going to continue in fighting no matter what. I just think it's like in government, out of government. Well, they'll in fight no matter what. I mean, if they do it in the context of, being in government, that's obviously very destructive and disruptive. Mm. If they do it out of government, they can they can have it out in the parking lot and just work out whether they want to still be under the same, flag anymore.
One of the interesting risks that this election poses is the preference deals with Clive Palmer and Pauline Hanson and having a hung parliament be voted in and the whole place, the lower house, be run by a bunch of yahoos. Do you see ICAN constituents or ICAN candidates as an antidote to that perhaps?
Yeah. I think Rod's sort of, you know, a psychologically stable, reasonable, compassionate human being who's, you know, sort of would be a good countervailing force to that sort of stuff. I think the interesting thing with the right parties, and look, I hope I'm right on this, is that it seems to be kind of zero sum. There's a certain proportion of the population which wants to vote for crazy right-wing stuff, and essentially any incremental vote Clive gets seems to come at the expense of One Nation or Fraser Anning, and it's all kind of – I just think that they might actually be sort of the final scene of Reservoir Dogs, where in the course of competing with each other, they all just kind of, you know, eliminate each other, which wouldn't be a terrible thing.
Are you trying to say that you're actually Mr. Pink?
No. Well, I mean, you know, hopefully without, you know, getting shot.
You mean clowns to the far left of you, jokers to the far right of you?
Yeah, more like that, yeah.
Well, Alex, thanks so much for hanging out with us on Irrational Fear. This interview, of course, you paid for by supporting the 1300 Who the Fuck is PM project. So it's a bit of paid promotion for you. So thanks for supporting that project.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
What did you guys think of what Alex Turnbull had to say?
Well, I couldn't hear much of it. I assume it was the usual Peter Dutton's a c- I hate Scott Morrison. Was it that kind of shtick?
I don't know. I haven't actually recorded it yet.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.